This is Progressive Radio, a weekly conversation hosted by Matthew Rothschild, editor of The Progressive Magazine, a leading voice for peace and social justice. For more information about Progressive Radio or The Progressive Magazine, log on to our website at progressive.org.
I'm Matt Rothschild, and welcome to Progressive Radio. Today we're going to be doing something a little different. We're having a roundtable discussion with three women from Israel and Palestine. Sponsored by Partners for Peace, this Three Women, Three Faiths tour is bringing us perspectives we rarely get to hear on the issue. The three women with me today are Diana Katan, a Christian Palestinian who grew up in West Jerusalem and lives in East Jerusalem now. Welcome, Diana Katan.
Thank you.
And Nina Majorek, a Jewish Israeli who lost her aunt and grandmother at Treblinka and who now lives in West Jerusalem working as an Israeli women's human rights with an Israeli women's human rights group called Checkpoint Watch. Welcome, Nina Majorek.
Welcome.
And Aitmat Muhanna, a Muslim Palestinian from the Gaza Strip who is also an activist for women's rights. Welcome, Aitmat Muhanna. Let me start with you, Aitmat. Did you know, first of all, the other two people on this tour before you got started?
No, we just met in Washington 28th of March, the first day of our program. Because I'm from Gaza, I can't go to Jerusalem. I can't meet any of them because they both of them coming from East and West Jerusalem. So we just met in Washington, unfortunately.
And everyone's getting along okay?
Yeah.
And what's the goal of the tour? What are you trying to accomplish?
I think the goal of this tour is to three women from different faiths, Muslim, Christian, and Jewish, coming from the reality, coming to represent the reality of the Israeli-Palestinian conflicts presented to public Americans, and trying to let Americans understanding a balance or listening to a balanced picture about the actual conflict between Israelis and Palestinians against the presentation of the conflict from one side, from a Jewish community or from the media, which is controlled by Jewish perspective. We're trying to let Americans more aware about the situation and encourage them to take a role to contribute in supporting peace in the Palestinian and Israeli societies, trying to support the withdrawal of Israeli occupation from Gaza and West Bank and establishing peace in this area for the sake of a better future for the children of Israelis and Palestinians.
Nina Majorek, how would you put the mission of this tour?
On our tour, I speak about my own observations that I have collected during my weekly travel through the occupied West Bank. I want to convince American public that there is no basis for optimism yet concerning peace process. The situation on the ground is extremely difficult. Jewish settlements enterprise develops at an accelerated rate. I also call upon progressive, pro-peace Christians, Muslims, and Jews, and all other religious and ethnic groups to unite and fight back the reactionary forces of Christian Zionists and part of Jewish lobby, specifically AIPAC and Anti-Defamation League, who, by supporting Israeli government policy of colonization and supremacy, act against true interests of Palestinians, Americans, and definitely Israelis.
Diana Katan, how would you put the mission of this tour, what you're trying to accomplish?
I would like to show people what's also happening in East Jerusalem as part of the occupied territories as well. Show them the difficulty of being separated from the rest of the community in the West Bank, the divisions that are occurring, not only because the wall is there, but the communities that are separated, the families that are separated, the water and trade and other things that are going to be cut off by the enlargement of the settlements as well. I hope to encourage people to learn more about the subject, maybe come and visit us and see for themselves. Be able to judge for themselves and maybe in that way take action, encourage their government to get more involved and put pressure on both governments to reach to a certain peace.
The wall, the wall that the Israeli government is putting up on the West Bank, what effect has that had? You've seen that up close and personal, haven't you?
Yes, I've seen the wall in many places. I've seen it in Bethlehem, I've seen it in Abu Dis, and I can tell you that last year when I came back, I was out of the country, and I came back at 3 o'clock in the morning. I saw the wall right in front of our house. It's a 9-meter-high concrete wall. In many places, it has a certain zone that nobody is allowed to trespass. There's an electrified fence. Anybody that tries to trespass in this place can be shot. This wall is taking away another segment of Palestinian land, confiscating it. It does not all come on the borders of the Green Line. It takes 8% of the best Palestinian land, and it comes on certain places on aquifers, whereby Israel is able to use the water from these aquifers, whereas Palestinians living on the other side are unable to do that. It also, as it does take the land, it also uproots the trees, it demolishes the houses, anything that's in the way. Even some houses are divided in half just to let the passage of the wall continue.
And it must make mobility more difficult as well, doesn't it?
It definitely makes mobility difficult. There's about 100,000 people trapped in places whereby they can't reach the West Bank, where they're able to get their facilities, such as medical facilities, education, everything else where they're supposed to be able to do that. At the same time, they can't reach it in Israel, where they're not entitled to it, not having Israeli citizenship.
Well, what is your perspective then as we're leading up to the point where the Israeli government has announced that it's going to pull out of Gaza? What sense does that make if it's building this wall on the West Bank and if it's expanding settlements on the West Bank, for that matter?
But, of course, as Palestinians, we are very hopeful that, you know, pulling out of Gaza is a first step. But, as you said, the expansion of the settlement, which completely is going to separate the north of the West Bank from the south of the West Bank, is not a hopeful sight. Again, for Jerusalemites, they will start needing permits to go to the West Bank, where they get their employment, their education, everything else, and that's going to be a serious difficulty. And it sometimes seems like this disengagement plan is just to hide the rest of the things that are happening on the West Bank in East Jerusalem.
Edmond Mohana, you're from Gaza, and you've worked on issues of poverty there and domestic violence as well, I read. What is your reaction to the proposed pullout from Gaza? Do you welcome that?
Palestinians in Gaza, they welcoming any attempt for peace. But the problem, are the Israelis or is the Israeli government serious to withdraw from Gaza or not? And is the Israeli government interested to deal with the withdrawal from Gaza as a first step for reaching the final status solution of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict? This is the question. It seems, again, as Diana said, the Israelis are not serious. They're trying just to calm down the situation and tell the whole world, the international community, that we are interested in peace. But while they are extending settlements in other parts of the occupied territories, withdrawal from Gaza will not be perceived as a serious attempt for peace building in the area. This doesn't mean that we are not welcoming the withdrawal from Gaza. We are Palestinians living in Gaza Strip in particular, our hunger for peace, our hunger to have just a space to breathe and to start building up their own society, to make their own development, and to have a space to survive and to live in a normal way as other people. They need a space to have their own employment, to go and feed their children and living and just to secure their livelihood. They need to have a better education. and to secure the education for their children and their university students. They need to build up their own market, their own economy, and without Palestinians having a control over their own land and over their own natural resources, their own water, electricity, their own borders, without having access to free trade with neighboring countries, the Palestinian will not be able to live in a normal way, will not be able to survive. And we also have to be very much concerned about Palestinians' political rights. Okay, if the withdrawal of settlements from Gaza Strip is one step, but it has to be linked with the political rights of Palestinians to have their own independent state in Gaza, West Bank, the land which was occupied in 1967, which is proved by the international law as the end of the occupation, is the solution for serious problems and economic problems Palestinians living in. The Palestinian economy hasn't had any opportunity to grow since the start up of the occupation, and the Israelis are trying to suppress any economic development attempt.
What is the condition in Gaza right now? How grave is the poverty?
In Gaza and West Bank, two-thirds of the population living in poverty, 40% of those poor people living in absolute poverty. And the main cause of poverty is the lack of mobility and the lack of, movement from place to another place, and the lack of access to the productive assets from the Israeli economy.
Nina Majorek, tell me, as an Israeli Jew and a dissident within Israel, what your interpretation of the Sharon government's plan right now, its unilateral withdrawal plan from Gaza, how do you view that?
I'm not dissident in Israel. I definitely represent presently a minority of Israelis, but it is not such a small minority. And many Israelis understand that continuation of the occupation is very destructive for Israeli people. It drains all our resources, and thousands of Israeli children are on soup kitchen presently. The poverty inside Israel also increases. So it's one point. The other point is that, we had many examples in history that it's not always majority understands, sees the truth. Very often minority sees reality much better. Now, about the vision of peace of the Israeli government, this vision is very disturbing. Sharon's government envisions Palestinian state as small enclaves on around 50% of the West Bank, small enclaves which are closed from all directions by walls, checkpoints, and roadblocks. And the contiguity that President Bush presses so much will be achieved by transportational contiguity, meaning tunnels and bridges monitored by the checkpoints. Now, I think that what happens is that Prime Minister Sharon plays a kind of chess game, which the outcome of this game will be very destructive for both Israelis and Palestinians. It means he is ready to sacrifice two pawns. One is settlements in Gaza Strip, and probably the second pawn is those unauthorized outposts where not more than 1,000 settlers live.
So for sacrificing the pawns, who are angry pawns right now.
Very angry, yes.
What does he gain?
he wants this grip on the most of the West Bank. That's grabbing of much land as possible and, you know, pacifying. I think his vision is to pacify Palestinians, to bring them to live in those enclaves, closed enclaves, to put a nice label on it, Palestinian state. And he assumes that in this situation, everybody should be happy.
Or maybe he assumes that he's putting Mahmoud Abbas in a trap, that Mahmoud Abbas, if he accepts this very twisted notion of what a Palestinian state is, this very small and dried up notion that no one really would accept as a legitimate state or the vision of a decent state, that if he accepts that, then he will be viewed by many Palestinians, and correct me if I'm wrong, many Palestinians may think he's selling them out if he accepts that. And then if he doesn't accept that, then Sharon can say, look, you can't settle with the Palestinians. They don't want us to make settlement. Yeah. Is it a trap?
I fully agree with you. It is a trap. It is a trap. And the conflict is not balanced. And the Israelis behaving and negotiating with Palestinians as byproduct of power. And the Americans also dealing with Palestinians as a byproduct of power. And this is what the international community should stand against. And dealing with the crisis as a political crisis where Palestinians, even they are, okay, they are powerless from a political point of view in terms of their position in the negotiation table, but they have the right to have their own political rights and to be on the table of negotiations all the time for the start up and the end up of negotiations.
So the unilateral decision by Sharon and Bush's blessing, and I think Colin Powell's
but
blessing.
But Sharon and Bush should be aware that Palestinian people are not ignorant and they know what's behind this trap. And they know if the Palestinians do not have their independent state, this will not end violence. This will not end, from their own perspective, terrorism. And terrorism will continue because it's produced by the occupation. It's produced by the American government support to the occupation. And it will never be ended if a Palestinian, 3.8 million Palestinians living oppressed and living away from their political rights. Palestinians are equal human being and they've been struggling, which is very much legal, legitimized, what they have been doing, what they have been resisting for. They need to live in independent state in 22% of the historic Palestinian land. And we need the international community to recognize and to push towards this forward.
You've been listening to Aitmat Muhanna, a Muslim Palestinian from the Gaza Strip, who's also an activist for women's rights. The show is Progressive Radio. I'm Matt Rothschild, your host. I'm speaking on this special show today with three women, sponsored by Partners for Peace, who are on a tour called Three Women, Three Faiths. The other two women here in the studio with me, Diana Katan, a Christian Palestinian who grew up in West Jerusalem, lives in East Jerusalem now, and Nina Majorek, a Jewish Israeli who is active in an organization called Checkpoint Watch. I wanted to follow up on something you just said, Aitmat Muhanna. Maybe I'll ask Diana this. Do you agree that the terrorism is produced by the occupation? Because one of the great fears of many Israelis and of American Jews who I talk to a lot, they say this terrorism, the suicide bombings, won't stop. If Israel gets out of the West Bank and Gaza, it'll just continue. And there's no, you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. There's no stopping Palestinians from wanting to kill Israelis until Israel ceases to exist. How do you respond to that fear?
I say that I understand where the fear comes from. I do think that the terrorism or the resistance that the Palestinians are putting up will stop if the Palestinians do get a contiguous state, a state where a viable state where they're able to communicate, to commote, to transfer their trade, to have their electricity, their water, to control their borders. on their own. I do think what Atimad said was true, that if Israel continues to keep the hold of the borders, of the hold of everything, then it will be very difficult for Palestinians to stop the resistance.
Excuse me for interrupting. Why don't I throw it over to Nina Majorek, because I was speaking at my own temple synagogue a couple months ago, and I was very criticized for suggesting just this point that Adnan Mohana made, that the occupation is what gives rise to the terrorism. And they said, I'm being naive. How do you react to it? How do other Israelis react to that? You're right there.
Well, I would like to emphasize that I personally, like all members of Checkpoint Watch and many pro-peace Israelis, strongly condemn Palestinian terrorist attacks against Israeli civilians and believe that such criminal acts cannot be justified on any grounds, including the disparity of military power between the Israeli army and the Palestinian resistance groups. Israel's right to protect its citizens, however, should be exercised only along and from within its internationally recognized borders, that is, the Green Line. By waging a war of destruction against the entire civilian population of the occupied Palestinian territories, Israel is only breeding terrorism, not eliminating it. And I want to add that this idea that we have two sides, one, Palestinian resistance groups that are completely immoral, and we on the other side have Israeli moral army, is completely wrong. There is a terrible cycle of violence, and both sides kill civilians. And numbers are horrible. 118 Israeli children were killed, and six times more Palestinian children were killed.
This is in the period of the Second Intifada, right?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about Checkpoint Watch, Nina Majorek.
We are an Israeli women's organization. We now count 500 women. We go in shifts to military checkpoints spread through entire West Bank area. Most checkpoints are not on the Green Line. Most checkpoints separate between those enclaves, Palestinian enclaves, between cities, Palestinian cities, and Palestinian villages. And we go there 7 days per week. We are able to cover sometimes 5 to 3 checkpoints per day, and we report our observations at our website, mahsomwatch.org.
How do you spell that?
MACHSOM watch.org.
What do all three of you want American citizens to do? Because that is who is primarily listening to this show. Right now, the United States gives a great deal of money to the State of Israel. It is the largest supporter of Israel, and I think it's convenient for the U.S. Empire to have Israel there. Israel, in my view, is an outpost of the U.S. Empire. Atimad Mohana, why don't you tell me what you want U.S. citizens to do and to tell the government of George Bush?
I think this is exactly the right, the proper time for American citizens to play an important role in building up peace in the Middle East. Because American citizens, as a democratic country, American citizens have place to influence their governments, they are legitimizing their government. So they have the right to tell their government what to do. So they have to be very much careful in terms of discussing the global issues and the peace issues with their representatives. They have, first of all, American publics, first of all, they have to understand the reality of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, and this is why we are here. We're trying to present the reality from our own perspective. And they have also to look in equitable bases for both Israelis and Palestinians. Even if they're supporting Jewish, that's fine, but they have to support the other part of this conflict. Yeah, and they have to push their government towards putting more pressure in Israel and to stop all those movements, extremist Jewish groups who are trying to destroy peace process, as equal as those extremist Islamists and extremist Christians who are against peace.
Diana Katana, I'd like your reaction to, you're here in the United States, what do you want us to do?
Well, you can start by writing to your representatives if you see that this issue is unjust, which I definitely believe it is. If not, maybe try to look at the media. Try to look at Israeli media. You have the Arutz. It will give you all the facts that are really on the ground. It will help you know more. If not, come and see for yourselves and maybe help us work on the ground with us. There's a lot to be seen and a lot to be done.
Indeed, there is. Nina Majorek, what would you have us do?
Oh, yes. I have many requests from the American public. And I think the most important thing is that American public will recognize that presently there is apartheid regime in the occupied territories. And the way to fight this apartheid regime is similar to the way to bring down the apartheid regime in the South Africa. And American public had a huge contribution in ending the South African apartheid regime. In 1986, your Congress passed the anti-apartheid bill that contributed enormously to the fall of this evil regime. And I am asking American public to act in a very similar way and not to be blackmailed by those part of this Jewish groups, which I claim that they are really very anti-Israeli.
Why
like
do you say
APA
that?
Group, APA group that by pushing Israeli government towards the policy of colonization and supremacy really act against true interests of Israeli people.
Well, that's just about all the time we have left here. I want to thank all three of you women, Diana Katan, Aitmat Mohana, Nina Majorek, for being my guest today on Progressive Radio. Your tour here in the United States, Three Women, Three Faiths, is sponsored by Partners for Peace. And I believe listeners can go to partnersforpeace.org, their website, or go to Google and type in Partners for Peace and find out more about this important organization and the important work all three of you are doing. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Today's program is available online at progressive.org. You can also write to us at 409 East Main Street, Madison, Wisconsin, 53703. Our music is by Mufa. Progressive Radio is produced by Elizabeth DiNovella and engineered at Audio for the Arts in Madison, Wisconsin.